Absolutely. That's the policy. You just move them up, shuffle them along, you know. Doesn't matter if they learned or not. Doesn't matter if you're crippling the child for the rest of their life. Don't inconvenience the adults in the system. You know, don't show people that what happened over this last year didn't work. Don't show people that more money doesn't equal better education. Just keep the kids moving, and it doesn't matter if they can't read when they graduate. They'll at least have moved along throughout the system, and the adults in the system won't have been inconvenienced by children who aren't learning as they're supposed to be.
Now, what happens though? When will the chickens come home to roost? In other words, what happens 2, 3, 4 years down the road, where people are now getting into junior high school and they're 2 grades behind, and then they get to 10th grade and they're 2 grades behind? What happens eventually when we send these kids on to college?
Well, they have to take remedial courses, which is what happens now. I mean, I think that's the thing. And so everything that's going to happen in the next 2 to 4 years, I think you've already seen it. It's just going to be amplified. And that's the thing is, look, if you're from an upper, you know, upper middle income family, if you're in a good school, if you had a parent or a family member or a friend who was able to help your kids this year with online learning, you're probably fine. I mean, I'm not worried about those kids. Their families are going to move them along at a presumably acceptable level. It's the families where, you know, the kid only showed up half the time. The kid didn't have a Chromebook for the first, you know, 6 months of school. Those are the kids that I'm worried about, and they're just going to get shuffled. They're just going to be lost in the system. You know, they'll drop out. The family will move, and, you know, they'll just become another statistic, and no one will care about them, sadly.
And then there will be kids that are third graders that can't read.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have that now. Certainly kids can't read at grade level. I mean, it's state testing shows the majority of third graders aren't proficient readers by the time they leave third grade. So, you know, we've got the failure factory going. I mean, there's a reason that Nevada has a terrible reputation when it comes to educational achievement. It's well-deserved.
More coming up with Victor Jenks, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. His latest column about the possibility of the Athletics coming to, the Oakland Athletics coming to our town and providing another major league sport. I just love it. Stay with us. More to do as we continue. I'm Kevin Wall. Great to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
KMZQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Coming up on 3:31 right now, as we check out our traffic cams right now, there is a crash at the Spaghetti Bowl, 515 westbound at Las Vegas Boulevard. Multiple first responders are on the scene there, and it's partially consuming the right lane, so approach with caution there at the Spaghetti Bowl. Also, reduced speeds, Interstate 15, northbound at Oakey, southbound at Charleston as you work your way through there. Expect some slow flows, too, on the 515, westbound at Charleston. There's some shoulder activity, Interstate 15, northbound. It's the on-ramp to Interstate 15 as you leave the 215, and you'll tap the brakes there, 515 eastbound at Main Street.
New Mail Medical presents this sports flash from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I'm Matt Pauley. The Vegas Golden Knights, with a win tonight, advanced to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, where they would match up against the Colorado Avalanche, who swept through the St. Louis Blues. The Golden Knights were down 1-0 in their series against the Minnesota Wild, but have won 3 in a row since then. Tonight, it will be an opportunity to move forward. However, Minnesota is 6-3-1 in Vegas since the Golden Knights entered the NHL during the 2017-2018 season. Las Vegas Aviators baseball, they lost to Salt Lake yesterday 5-0. Series does continue tonight. Dalton Jeffries is set to make the start for the Aviators. This sports flash is brought to you by New Mail Medical, 702-919-0609. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, I'm Matt Pauley on AM 670 KMZQ, Talk Radio Done Right.
John. Clay's Cleaning Service has a spotless reputation.
Will you take care of the windows? Hello, this is Clay.
But his business operations could use a light dusting.
Boy, I had you scheduled for next week. I'll just check here. No, absolutely. We will be there tomorrow.
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Our country is in an upheaval that continues to fester. Elected officials from the lowest recesses of our local government to the highest office in the land have played a part in the divisiveness of today's America. And we, Americans, bear the risk. I'm Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance here in Las Vegas. Our government is opening our country's border. Shutdowns have destroyed businesses and jobs, and crime rates are on the rise. Are you prepared? Peters Family Insurance is a conservative, veteran-owned business with two locations in Las Vegas. If you've not taken a look at the risks you face every day, give us a call. Whether it's auto, home, business, or life insurance, we can help. We've been voted Best of Las Vegas for 2 years straight, and we live up to that award. Support local conservative small business owners before liberal elected officials put us all out of business. Call Peters Family Insurance today at 702-870-4000. Again, that's 702-870-4000.
This is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
So good to have you with us on this Monday edition of Live and Local. Victor Jakes joining us, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and his column over the weekend about the possibility of the Athletics coming to Las Vegas and whether we should subsidize. What is the argument for subsidizing? Victor, are you there?
Sorry about that. The argument for subsidizing would be that, you know, you're going to create this this draw for tourists, and you know the Athletics are going to have a following. Major League Baseball is going to have a following, and so you're gonna attract people from out of state that wouldn't have come to Las Vegas otherwise. Those people will spend money throughout the economy, and you know, basically it'll wash. You know, the however much money you spend, you'll get all that you'll get that much money back in tax revenue over the long term.
And obviously the other side of that coin, the economic impact being what it is, but that's still subsidizing millionaires and billionaires. Should we as a community be doing that?
No, I don't think we should. I mean, I don't think, you look at Las Vegas, it's not like, you know, we need the government to build a baseball stadium to get people to Las Vegas. You know, I mean, there's no one coming to Las Vegas unless we build a baseball stadium. I mean, you look at a project like the MSG Sphere at you know, behind the Venetian. They're spending almost $2 billion of private money to build that, and now we're supposed to tell their competition, basically, you know, in terms of being in the entertainment space, oh, well, you know, this is the baseball team, so we're going to give them hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not just. And if you look at the economic argument, basically what happens is people spend their entertainment money. You know, they take it, instead of going to someplace else in the community, they go to the baseball stadium. You don't actually create, quote unquote, create that much new money when you do sports subsidies.
Do we know what the geography is going to look like? I mean, from a site standpoint, are there any early favorites as to where you would have the space and where you'd want to build a new baseball stadium?
You know, there is certainly going to be parts of town that are competing for it. I mean, I think the old Cashman Field is the one that jumps right to mind. Obviously, Mayor Goodman, both Mayors Goodman have wanted a professional sports team in Las Vegas proper. So I'm sure that will be one that gets consideration. You know, I would be shocked if the A's didn't try and examine sites along the Las Vegas Strip. You know, the Raiders Stadium obviously isn't on the Las Vegas Strip, but it's pretty close. I would think if I was them, you know, I'd want to be right by all the tourists and have easy access to them. I know Henderson would love to have a major league facility out in Henderson. So we'll see. Obviously, it's all dependent on, you know, the city of Oakland not giving the A's what they want in terms of either approval or money for a stadium in Oakland. And if they don't do that, then I think the A's will really start looking.
What's the timetable we're looking at here? How long does Oakland have to, either phone a friend or say goodbye?
You know, I think the decision actually is coming within the next couple of months. I think they're going to
know over
what the council does. I don't think that means they're leaving Oakland even next year, but just in terms of, you know, where they will be in 2 years or 3 years, I think, you know, or if they will be leaving in 2 or 3 years, I think we'll know that this summer.
And the assumption is that we would have to help Major League Baseball and the A's build a stadium. Do we know that for sure, or has that been stated publicly, or is that just an assumption we're making? Because obviously we built T-Mobile, and it's fine.
Yeah, I don't. The A's certainly haven't come out and said, you know, look, we need $500 million, and we're not considering you. So, look, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. I certainly hope they would, you know, decide to privately finance it. And if they did, it'd be wonderful. It'd be great to have a professional baseball team. It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be another shot in the arm for the Las Vegas economy. I mean, it'd be a lot of things. But, you know, there's a big difference between, you know, someone coming and building something and someone saying, you know, give me $500 million or I won't come.
And just for the record, what did we come up with in public funding for the Allegiant Stadium? Was it $750
million? $750 million.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was... That's a lot of money. You know, I think at some point you're going to have to ask who's making more off hotel rooms, the government or the casinos the hotel rooms. But if I had to guess, if they were going to try and do a public finance package, I would guess they'd go right back to the room tax and think about increasing that.
And just for the record, do you get a sense of what politicians here? I mean, that was a tough vote for people, you know, the $750 million.
Yeah, I really think they'd have a much harder time getting it through because it'd need to be a two-thirds vote because it's a tax increase vote. You know, if you remember back in 16, you know, Governor Sandoval was there and, you know, was a Republican, and I think that, you know, played into Republicans being willing to do it along with the fans was the one pushing it at the time. But, you know, Democrats also opposed it. Some Democrats opposed it, and I think there was some, you know, opposition there because the Sands was involved, and I don't necessarily know if you'd see that level of opposition from the Culinary Union. So it's going to be interesting. I think it would be a tough vote. I think it would be a tough to get to two-thirds. I don't think it's impossible, but I certainly don't think it's a sure thing, and I think, you know, it's going to be harder to get the Republicans on board when you've got, you know, Steve Sisolak doing it, staring down a reelection campaign versus Governor Sandoval having been reelected, already being a Republican. And I think the Republicans are going to be the harder ones to get to vote for it.
Wow. Victor, always good to visit with you. Thank you, my friend. We'll do it again next week. How about it?
Look forward to it. Thanks, Kevin.
There you go. Victor Jakes, three-time a week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, joining us. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Carry on my wayward son, don't you cry no more.
Carry on all the way to your locally owned Meineke, your one-stop shop for total car care. With Meineke e-inspection, you'll know the problem and the fix. We'll send real-time updates, photos, and technician notes straight to your phone. Book online today and get a $17.95 basic oil change. Engine, brakes, tires, oil. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
In 2020, Nevadans faced unprecedented government overreach and has had a devastating effect on our economy, on the livelihoods of countless Nevadans, and on our basic foundational freedoms. And now, of course, as lawmakers deal with the fiscal realities of shutting down an entire economy, they're getting ready to ask you, the very Nevadans who are suffering the most right now, to cough up even more of your hard-earned dollars to fix their mistakes. The Clark County Education Association wants to make Nevada's average sales tax the highest in the nation, and that's just the beginning. You can be sure government agencies, lobbyists, and unions will be out in force to make sure that their priorities are put ahead of yours. That's why Nevada Policy will be on the ground in Carson City this legislative session, making sure struggling Nevadans, not government insiders, are put first in the 2021 session. Partner with us today, and let's rebuild this great state. Visit NevadaPolicy.org today and join our effort. That's NevadaPolicy.org. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
I'm attorney Glenn Lerner. After being a personal injury attorney for 28 years, I've learned a lot of things about insurance companies, and there are a few things I trust more than them. For example, I trust a rabid cobra protecting her babies. I trust a hungry grizzly bear with a steak in my pocket, and I trust a shark in my hot tub.
I'm attorney Kevin Rowe. Get the picture? Hurt in a wreck and need a check? You know who you can trust. Or Lerner and Rowe.
Lerner and Rowe is the way to go. Call 877-1500.
Randy Westbrook, managing attorney.
Hello, this is Republican Assemblywoman Heidi Kasama. I was elected this November to represent Assembly District 2, which is Southwest Summerlin. Please join Kevin and I as we discuss all of the latest developments in the Nevada legislature. This is going to be one of the most important legislative sessions in our state's history. Over the last year, Clark County has been hit hard. As a small business owner and assemblywoman, I am focused on getting Nevadans back to work. To learn more about me, go to HeidiKasama.com.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a boy, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to sleepover.
Not for fun, just so he can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat.
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour of Live and Local brought to you by Americans for Prosperity. The Sunday shows were full of it yesterday. A lot of flaming Democrats were on. Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was on with John Dickerson on Face the Nation and was talking about the reconciliation that might be needed for Democrats to pass the $1.8 trillion. Now, it's now been whittled down to $1.7 trillion. Way to go, guys and gals. Really appreciate the hard work you put in on this. The Republicans came back and said, we'll go to $1.7 trillion. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to be enough. Anyway, Bernie Sanders, though, gave what I thought was a pretty impassioned declaration that Democrats are going to be willing to use reconciliation to get that $1.7 trillion bill passed. They keep holding that that reconciliation over the heads of Republicans. This was Bernie Sanders yesterday on Face the Nation.
The president and Republicans have been going back and forth on this question of infrastructure. The president made another bid, shortened the price tag a little bit. But the central question of what infrastructure means, Republicans say it roads and bridges. Democrats say it includes lots of other things in the environment, child care, elder care. Is that difference so big that it can't be fixed through bipartisan negotiations and Democrats should just go it alone?
Well, look, I think most working class Americans understand that for the last 40 years, what the government has done is catered to the needs of the wealthy and large corporations. Rich are becoming much richer, while real wages for average American workers have gone nowhere over the last many, many decades. And I think what we have got to do now, John, is start paying attention to a struggling middle class, a struggling working class. What does that mean? It means that at a time when half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck, we have got to create millions of good-paying jobs. That is rebuilding roads and bridges. We've talked about that forever. But it is also having to deal with the existential threat of climate. How do you not deal with climate when the scientists tell us that the very future of the planet is in peril? And furthermore, when I think about infrastructure, of course it means education. How do we lead the world unless we have, in a competitive economy, world economy, the best educated workforce in the world? Of course it means child care. Of course it means health care. And I think we've got to expand Medicare to cover dental, eyeglasses, hearing aids. And of course it means dealing with income and wealth inequality.
So in 30 seconds we have less, Senator, with ambitions like that, which the president shares, how do you do it through a bipartisan process? Aren't you going to have to go through reconciliation just with Democratic votes?
That's probably right. And I think that's what the American people want. We would like bipartisanship, but I don't think we have a seriousness on the part of the Republican leadership to address the major crises facing this country. And if they're not coming forward, we've got to go forward alone.
That's Bernie Sanders. Pretty obvious where he is. The question, what about Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema of Arizona? We're going to have to figure out how to stop this. This cannot be allowed to happen. $1.7 trillion. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the compromise number. That's the compromise number. And I heard Jen Psaki today saying, well, the ball's in the Republicans' court. We came down. We were at $1.8 trillion. We're now at $1.7 trillion. Are they making this up? You know, we are just dumbfounded. I mean, those of us who are conservatives, those of us who believe in smaller, leaner government, this makes no sense at all. But it looks like there at least one member, and it's one of the more progressive members, I might add. He's not the most progressive member, but he is one of them. Would like to go forward with reconciliation. And we cannot allow that to happen. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Discussing the biggest issues.
It's just fundamentally offensive and frightening. It's just frightening. You say, like, who are we? How did we get to this place?
AM 670 KMZQ.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Some good news and bad news. Bad news is almost half of Americans approaching retirement have nothing saved. The good news is that the new estimate from the U.S. Government Accountability Office is slightly better than a few years earlier. Now, we call on America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta, for a little insight. Coach, do you see things getting better like GAO does?
Well, Steve, I think everyone out there listening needs to have their very own decumulation plan. That's when we reach retirement. We need to make sure we have enough money. And unfortunately, many people haven't saved what they should have or are saving in the wrong place. You know, it's almost just as bad to save in the wrong place as it is not even start saving.
Sure.
We've seen way too many folks who think they're in the right place because they've been told that, but never been explained where they really were and never had anything in writing that fully explained what kind of income they could get for the rest of their life. So it's vitally important that everyone listening out there has their very own what we call financial green print. And that's looking at where you are right now financially, where you are right now age-wise, and making sure that when you reach retirement or if you're in retirement, you get what we call the financial fill-up strategy in place every single year. You get a check that's delivered to you that keeps you going in the right direction and never goes away. That's called income planning. We need to make sure we never run out of our money. Our money needs to grow when we're not using it. It needs to be protected from the ups and downs of the market, well, the downs of the market especially.
Sure, yeah.
And it needs to have a lifetime income you can never outlive built into it. Not only will we design your very own financial green print strategy, we'll also give you a three-book set, The Financial Safari, America Ask Coach, and 7 Baby Steps to get you on the path where you deserve.
That's right. Just call or text right now, 888-702-6932, and you'll receive everything Coach Pete is offering today. Call or text 888-702-6932. That's call or text 888-702-6932.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Financial Advisory Group, a Nevada-registered financial advisor.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart, but our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19, paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
This is Lee Habib, and I get asked all the time why we do all of those segments on Our American Stories about people who found the American dream. And we do it because it's true. This country has great stories to tell, and we tell them on this station every night, because one thing I've learned is this: there's an American story in all of us. Join me for Our American Stories right here.
Heard nightly, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, only on AM 670.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
This hour brought to you by the MultiCare Group. Let Pat Casale and his friendly and knowledgeable staff tailor a healthcare plan to fit your company's budget. And the MultiCare Group can provide you with plans that include free annual exams, telemedical appointments, and the best networks in the valley. Make the call right now, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. Call the MultiCare Group. Do it right now. I am fascinated by the confirmation that we have received today that Joe Lombardo, the sheriff, is going to be running for governor as a Republican in the Republican primary. I'll be honest with you, I can't wait to get him on because I know nothing about him other than he looks good in a police uniform. Nah, he looks like a sheriff. Now the question is, does that translate into a statewide vote for governor? And again, he's going to have a primary. I can't wait to get a chance to visit with him. I think he did a great job during the 1 October. And beyond that, I can't tell you a lot about him. I mean, I wish this was a guy that had a track record that we could say, well, you can point to this, you can point to this, you can point to that. I know that when other sheriffs around the state were signing letters of disapproval with Governor Sisolak's policies, he was not among the signatures that were out there. And I'll be honest with you, if somebody asked me the other day, said, Joe Lombardo, is he really going to run? I said, well, he's thinking about it, and he's, you know, and I had it on pretty good authority that he was going to be running. But what I didn't know, you know, because the next question is always, well, is he conservative? And I'll be honest with you, I do not know. I don't think he is. I don't. I'm sorry, but I don't. A formal announcement is going to be made probably in the next few weeks. He did an interview with KRNV News 4 in Reno. And my understanding is he had also talked to the RJ. I don't hold me to that, but I saw something where he apparently had told that same thing to the RJ. But the bottom line is, here is another one of these people that's going to be a candidate. Now, there is this talk that what we need is kind of a consensus.